The following is a recording for Andrew LaPlante with the Florida Atlantic University Board of Trustees on Thursday, June 27th, 2013 at 8:30 a.m. Central Time.
Once again, thank you for accommodating this special meeting. I appreciate it. Thank you. Just to give you an update, this past last week we had the Board of Governors meeting at USF in Tampa. We were there Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and on Tuesday night, Chair Colson and Vice Chair Husseini invited the board chairs to a dinner, which was an idea that was started, I believe, by our own Trustee Stille when we had hosted the Board of Governors meeting here at FAU. And so it was, we had nine chairs there, and it was a very productive conversation with the governors. I appreciated Acting President Crudell, Provost Claiborne, Dr. Call, and who were there to make a presentation on behalf of FAU. We presented our work plan and our budget. There was one concern, and that was something that we had discussed, which was graduation rates. And I know that we are working on looking at ways to increase our retention, which then increases our graduation rates. When you combine our graduation rates with the graduation rates of students that transfer from FAU to other SUS universities, our graduation rates go from the high 40s to the high 60s or almost 70. So that was very good. Obviously, one of the things we want to do is be focused on producing graduates that can get jobs. And so we have talked to different members of the business community to find out what they're looking for, and we'll be discussing that, I'm sure, in the future, hearing more about that in the future. Our new dorm, which is the freshman dorm located on the south end of the campus, is moving along. It should be complete, I think, sometime next month. It'll be opened in August, and it's coming in early and under budget, which are all very good things. So thank you very much, and I will turn it over to Dennis for his comments.
Thank you very much, Chair Barber. I want to thank you also, give thanks also to Dr. Jennifer O'Flannery Anderson for her service as the Vice President for Community Engagement here and Executive Director of the FAU Foundation. I also want to thank Joanne Davis for agreeing to step in to be the Interim Vice President. Joanne has a number of years of experience in nonprofit management, including the Executive Director of the South Florida Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, and her leadership skills will be greatly used here. Brief report, as you said, on we met at the Board of Governors last week, and we did have a long discussion about our retention rates. But more importantly, on the positive side too, we also have focused our work plan on looking at the Carnegie Foundation designation of high research institution, placing strategic importance on key new hires in those areas, and increasing access to undergraduate research. Continued emphasis also on accountability, with awareness with state funding is going to be tied more and more to the performance measures. Our graduation rate is improving, we know that, and we are addressing this as a top priority. Our planned success moves in here will be to fill a key position for student success. We'll hire more academic advisors. We're now using new software to monitor students' progress toward a degree. We're adjusting course schedules to offer more high-demand courses. We're expanding our online courses. And we're reassessing our admission standards to make sure that incoming freshmen are really ready for university-level work. As Chair Barber mentioned, our new FAU residence hall will be open in the fall semester, and we will be having FAU's first faculty member in residence. On the news front, our marketing department has been making concerted efforts to generate positive stories highlighting our notable successes. Just recently, we've had a number of stories out, including our former FAU student body president, Ansel Pratt, and former board member, highlighting his successful career with the Miami Heat, and he was just appointed the project manager for the Dwayne Wade World Foundation, a nonprofit outreach organization for at-risk children. This was run both in print and news media. Another top story that we've had is the 100% graduation placement for all our graduates of the FAU Accounting Scholars Program. And that our recent graduate, Monique Perez, and School of Accounting Director Kim Dunn were recently featured in an article in the Sun Sentinel, and was also on CBS Channel 12. Also, in the recent issue of the Florida Trend, is listed the top attorneys for government nonprofits. Our own David Keon was listed in the Legal Elite and section, and so congrats to David for being recognized for his accomplishments. We will continue to bring out those stories. We also have an article on your Florida Trend on higher education, which has been something that we've talked about also relation to how we are one of the lowest universities in terms of faculty or in terms of administration. So I just want to point those things out. I want to also say that we continue to be working proactively with the news and the media. A little over a week ago, I announced that media would be now reporting to the president's office. So I really appreciate your support over the last 2 months, and that concludes my report.
Thank you. One of the things I wanted to mention, and I'm sorry I forgot, was that at the Board of Governors meeting, Dr. Michael Polyakov from the American Council of Trustees and Alumni made a presentation to the BOG on the universities, the SUS in Florida, and it was very complimentary. And so I thought it was very good. Stacy, can we try to get a copy of that presentation? Okay, thank you. Can we have, if you've had time, to review the minutes for the June 11th meeting? I have a motion to approve.
So,
second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries. Okay. Next item is the approval of the 2012 to 2015 collective bargaining agreement with the United Faculty of Florida. As most of you already know, our Personnel and Compensation Committee, currently chaired by Trustee Teske and previously chaired by Trustee Fader, has been working for over a year on this agreement. By law, the committee is permitted to meet in closed meetings with the administration and our bargaining team on matters related to union negotiations. The committee has done so several times over the past year in order to provide the administration our priorities in the collective bargaining process. This exemption from the Sunshine Law levels the playing field for us with the unions, just as the union leadership can discuss their negotiating strategies privately. Our committee does so as well with our negotiating team. If we discussed our bargaining goals and strategies at public meetings, we would be at a disadvantage in accomplishing those goals. All of the articles in the agreement and red line changes from the previous contract provided in your materials have been discussed, reviewed, and approved by the committee. Additional changes can be made to this agreement every year through the reopener process. Our team will initiate the bargaining process for the 2013-14 year within 15 days after ratification. And it was recently ratified. I believe it was on June 11 or 12 that the agreement was ratified by the faculty. And so now I'd like to call on Associate Provost Dan Alperin and Senior Associate General Counsel Larry Glick to walk us through some of the highlights from this latest round of bargaining.
Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning. The faculty at FAU have been represented by the United Faculty of Florida since 1974. Your earlier agreements were statewide agreements with the Board of Regents and the United Faculty of Florida, And since 2003, the agreements have been with the SAB chapter of the USF and the SAB Board of Trustees. Every 3 years, we are able to negotiate what we refer to as a whole book agreement. We negotiate all the articles in the agreement. The agreement before you is the fourth whole book agreement between the SAU DOT and the USF, and it's for the 2012-2015 period. And as Trustee Barber told you, we can negotiate articles every year. Also, as the Chair Barber has told you, we have been negotiating this agreement since April 2012, and as part of the process, we regularly meet with the Personnel and Compensation Committee of the DOT. We reached tentative agreement on all the articles by the end of April, and as our process, the in-union and faculty members vote on the agreement. As your material backup indicates, 96% of those voting voted for approval. I think that we as FAU received some very good things in this new agreement. The highlight for me is post-tenure review. Years ago, under the Board of Regents, we had something called sustained performance evaluation. It was a very ineffectual process and procedure. Many schools in the state still have it in place and agree that it is not effective, and they actually are looking forward to what we come forward as a college. I think that the advantage we have is that the provost will be able to establish a post-tenure review procedure that will document the same performance and assigned duties, acknowledge achievements, and provide an opportunity for longer-range performance accomplishments and future plans. This is extremely important for SAU as an institution, but it is also very important for the concept of public trust, which I'm sure you all hear about comments about tenure from your friend of the day. Another thing that we accomplished that we're very proud of is the six-week payout. This will be a substantial savings to the university down the road. For faculty hired after June 2010, there will be no large payout upon separation. As the committee knows, currently all employees can get paid out a quarter of unrestricted that is capped at $480. So that's a saving for the university. In conjunction with this, we introduced a paid parental leave program. This is definitely something that is very important in terms of recruitment of junior faculty. It is currently in place at FIU, UF, USF, and FSU, and many of the other schools in the NUS are looking at this as a standard at universities. In terms of salaries, we negotiate salaries annually. As the agreement before you, tells you that we have negotiated zero salary increases for the 2012-13 year. Again, this agreement is for 2012-2015. So for this past year, there will be no salary increases for faculty except for merit-based promotion increases. There is a small wage increase for our teachers in what we call FALC, A.D. Henderson University School, and the SAU High School. Understand that those salaries and all the operations in those schools are not included in this is a separate stream of dollars for a contract that comes from the state. And we're talking with the people, the principal and the assistant dean at SAUF. This is extremely important for us to be competitive with the Broward and Huntington County schools. There was another significant change with FAUS. We amended the agreement to be in compliance with state law for school teachers. You will see in the agreement that we eliminated the awarding of tenure, what is referred to as Henderson and permanent status. That was an effective state law, so that is eliminated. People who have it can keep it, but we will not be avoiding permanent status to employees at Henderson. And in addition, we clarify language on layoffs. Again, to be compliant with state law, that layoffs would be based on performance and merit and not simply tenure. So those are the things that we feel are significant in the agreement, but I welcome questions on it.
Just a quick question on the Henderson negotiation. Do we finalize that the bulk of the, not the percentage, but the dollar amount would go to the entry level teachers that, or did we not finalize that?
You know, if I get up here, I should get
to. No, you can get up.
As we met in the TNC committee, we went back and forth about if it should be a percentage or a fixed sum. We did end up, as requested by the DOT, it is a fixed sum that went across the board. So the range of percentages, just last night, 1.71% to 4.1%. The 4%, of course, being at the lower end of the scale, which I know you were most concerned about. So we did it the way that you had suggested.
Just one more comment. This process, Butch has started on it. He chaired the committee. But prior to that, we were working on this about a year and a half, and I think Diane and Larry have done a great job. You know, when you're in negotiation, it's kind of a tough word, but at the end of the day, you know, we're talking to our team members. We're talking to our faculty. We're negotiating with a lot of people that are very, very critical to this university. And I just want to comment that we looked at it that way. I mean, it wasn't like, what can we get? What can we get? We looked at the important issues for our team members and what was also important to the university. And this was a perfect example. Henderson, when they did the presentation, they said they wanted to have a percentage increase for everybody. And we said, well, what's the problem? Well, we got a real big problem. The problem is our entry-level teachers can't compete with Broward and Palm Beach County. And I think it was like a 40,000 versus 35. I forgot what the number was. So we said, well, rather than a straight percentage increase, which means the highest paid teachers would get more, and we're not fixing the problem. And that's why we came up with the idea, okay, let's do it on a dollar amount where the percentage is higher for the entry level teacher. Then we need new blood, we need bright, and we can't let Palm Beach and Broward just take all the best. We want the best here. So again, that's just one example of how we went through this process. And we looked at some of the issues from the faculty, and a lot of things we agreed to. So I think it's important that when we go through these negotiations, it shouldn't look like, you know, we want everything. That's not the way we look at it. What we want is to have a nice balance between our team and also the needs of the university. And I think you guys have done an unbelievable job.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Yes, sir. Would you please explain the difference personally? People may have some misgivings about the distinction between the various teams, and entitled to automatic or contingent. Plus one, if they're on sabbatical, for example. Can you explain that?
Well, sabbatical leave, which is a collective bargaining agreement, is a competitive process. Faculty submit applications for sabbatical in the fall. The research committee of the faculty senate reviews the application. There are people who apply for sabbatical for the full year at half pay, or for 1 month for full pay, and that's the more competitive sabbatical. Understand that while faculty are sabbatical, they are still employees of FAU. So if we negotiate a salary increase, and we say it will be based on last year's evaluation, the person who is on sabbatical will be evaluated based on their accomplishments for that. Everybody has to submit a report on what they submit what they plan to do, and then they submit a report to me on their accomplishments, and I review them. So, yes, if they were on sabbatical, they would be employed, they would be working, and that work would be part of a merit-based increase. Personal leave can be without pay, and if somebody is on leave without pay, then we would not be evaluating their work during that period.
Yeah, we can also, 9 months faculty, which makes up the bulk of the faculty, actually do not accrue annual leave. They only accrue the sick leave, so it's just the in this agreement, it would be your 12-month administrative faculty and your school teachers. Sick leave would be the other large portion of this. Everybody does accrue sick leave. leave is for when you're sick, and according to federal law, when an employee is out sick and they are out for enough days and with a qualifying event where they over FMLA, they would then be entitled to the increases that are across the board that everybody else would get. The only other type of increase that I can think of to make cover it would be discretionary increases, or the administrative discretionary increases. There's a provision in the agreement that permits the administration to give increases, for example, for a counteroffer, if we choose to give one to keep somebody. The union agreed with us that that's something that we need to be able to do quickly, and we can do that up to a limited basis without bargaining for certain reasons. If we did that, that raise, of course, would only apply to that one faculty member, would not apply to some. That would have to come back and have that part.
And who has that authority to grant that?
The proposals for an out-of-staff cycle increase have to be approved by the provost for the faculty, and I do the paperwork in terms of making sure that they're in for the reasons that are in the flex bargaining agreement, as we said, for a verified counter offer.
Thank you, and I do concur with David. You, the whole committee has done a wonderful job.
So, Chairman, just for the record, I must recuse myself from voting on the issue on the council. I'm a member of the bargaining unit, and therefore it would be inappropriate for me to vote on the issue.
Thank you. We understand. Any other questions or comments?
Yes, sir. I want to thank you for your
Okay, can I have a motion to approve the 2012-2015 collective bargaining agreement?
As chairman of the operating committee, I would like to move that we accept the contract.
Second. Okay, moved and second. Any further questions?
Just one comment.
Yes, sir.
I think it's important also that this went through the committee process and
yes,
they met everything. So
okay.
That's why it's board level right now.
Thank you. Any other questions, comments? Okay, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much, Larry and Diane. We appreciate it. Okay. The next item on our discussion is the presidential search. So,
Chairman Barber, since there may be some discussion in terms of the interim appointment here, I think I should excuse myself from this meeting so that you can have free and open discussion. So, I think I will.
Okay.
I will remove myself temporarily. I'll take my sunglasses.
Okay.
They won't recognize you.
Since there may be some procedural issues here, I'm going to ask David Keon if he would mind moving his seat over here. It would be helpful for me. So, in looking at the presidential search, I think we have to start with a basic question, and so that's where we start today, and that is my question to the board is, do we think we should start a search immediately, or should we delay for some period of time before we begin a search? Because I think that drives the other decisions.
It's not the question, should we be getting an interim or not, or just keep...
No. I think we have a question before that, and that is, should we proceed with the search immediately, or for a new president?
Not an interim.
Not an interim, a permanent president. Or should we delay it? So, for example, when our last search, there was a proposal from the dean, which I can't remember, three or four of our board members agreed with, that we should postpone the search for 2 or 3 years. I forget what the exact date was. So I think that's really the first question is, do we think we should proceed with a search for a permanent president immediately, or should we wait some period of time before we begin that process?
Mr. Chair, what was the motivation for delaying a search?
I don't know that there was one. I mean, I agreed with moving immediately, but I just think it's a decision that we have to agree on as a board, because that then drives the other decisions that we make, I think.
And
yes, sir. I think that maybe I'm not being clear, and help me here, David. We're going to have an interim president. Okay, on August 12th, Dennis, or somewhere around there, Dennis's role as acting president will vanish. Once Dr. Saunders ceases to be president, she doesn't have the authority to appoint an acting, and that acting goes away. So there will be an acting. There will be an interim, I'm sorry. Before we get to who the interim is or what qualifications we may seek there, I think we have to start first with, do we want to begin a search for a president immediately, or do we think there's value in waiting a couple years? That's really the question.
I wouldn't wait a couple years. I'd wait a few months.
I wouldn't wait 5 minutes. I think we got to start looking now, because it might take somebody 1 year or 2 years to take the job. Maybe under a different contract that wants to move down to Florida. And if we lose that opportunity by waiting, we lose that opportunity. There is no benefit to waiting.
We're not gonna fix things in 3 months. I mean, and I know where Jeff's coming from. He'd like a little bit of stability, and which we all want. But we could do that. I think we should do both. We should pick an interim president. That person gives us the stability that we need. I think we should aggressively go out and find the best and the brightest person out there that could lead this university, because at the end of the day, that's what's going to create change here. You know, what's going to create change is somebody to come in and put together a program that's going to take us to the next level. So I don't think we should wait. And as Abdul said, it could take a year. I mean, this is not an easy process. You know,
in fact,
it's a long process.
I mean, you served on the committee last time. It took 6 or 8 months before we identified it. I mean, we were without a president for a full year.
Yeah.
Right.
A permanent.
And that's probably what will happen again, unless out of the blue somebody walks in here tomorrow or whatever and says, you know, I want the job, and
Superman is not coming today.
Yeah.
But I think we should get started. I think we should choose the interim president and aggressively start the process. And it's a process, which means we take our time, we want the best, we're not in any rush, you know, we have a lot of positive things going on in this university, and we should be operating, you know, aggressively to find who that person is.
I think that regardless of when we start the process, and there's no reason, in my opinion, we have to wait at all to start the process, in order for it to be a truly deliberative process, it is going to take a great deal of time,
correct,
in my opinion. Whether we decide whether it's this month or next, we need to start that process, I think, in order to identify those potential candidates who are out there. However, I also agree with Trustee Feingold that it's important that during this period we look to an interim president in order to really give us not only the stability that I think we should have and do need to look for, but also to become far more attractive candidate for all the people who want to move here. to South Florida and to Florida Atlantic University and all the things it has to offer. So I think we can go ahead with both. I think we should go ahead with both immediately. We're going to provide that ability and, again, that look we want to have as a great opportunity for a great candidate to come here to FAU.
But does that not bring up a question of the problem with two searches? In other words, a search for an interim and a search for a permanent. I think I'm starting to hear that. Why not?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes,
can I? The reason why, the initial question of why would the board even consider waiting, the reason why at the last search, the first item that was considered by the board was when to commence the search, was because there was a suggestion, and actually a written letter that was presented to the board at that time, which suggested that with the appointment of the interim, it was the provost at the time, no longer here, with the appointment of the interim, if the interim were given 2 to 3 years, that would allow the interim time to do some of the internal changes and address some of the issues that were present at the time. And the suggestion was that an interim, in order to truly be effective and to kind of set a clean slate for the next full-time president, would need more than the 8, 10, even 12 months that a search would likely take. That rather wait 2 years, let the interim do the things necessary, and then in that third year start the search. That was a proposal that was in front of the board at that time. And the thinking was you decide whether or not you're going to start your search now or wait a couple of years. That then really decides for you the question on your interim, or at least it strongly informs the question of the interim. Because if you're starting your search now, you recognize your time frame is likely going to be completed in the spring of 2014. And so how effective can an interim be, if, you know, particularly if you're doing a search for an interim? If that person is going to come and arrive and then within 6 months be leaving, how much can you realistically expect that interim to do versus if you wait 2 or 3 years to start your full-time search, then you search for an interim, you bring that person in, they've got a couple of years, they probably have more time to be effective. So that was because at the time there was a proposal on the table for the interim to serve 2 to 3 years, the board had to make that decision then. And what Chair Barber was suggesting is that if there's a thinking here that an interim needs time to do some things before starting the search, you make that decision now, and then you decide whether you want to do a search for an interim first and a search for a president later, or whether you're ready to go now, don't waste 5 minutes, and then that may impact whether you're going to do a search for an interim at all. Does that address the question?
Yeah, that addresses the question. I guess I would say that the time a couple years ago with what happened, the times are different now.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we're somewhat in a transitional time period right now. I think that we have obviously a crisis, but I think the crisis has we've settled down. There are some issues, but I think there's a lot of good things going forward, and I think to be fair, there's some things that need to be fixed. None of it is the end of the world. I mean, it's all, we're doing okay. And I think it's a fair question. I mean, to me, the question kind of comes out like this. Do you keep Dennis in there for a certain period of time, right? Whatever that time period is set. And we all understand the acting mm-hmm. in terms of FAU contract, maybe say August
12th.
August 12th. So we something has to happen, you know, by us, by for what happens. We have to have somebody in place on August the 13th. So whether it's Dennis or somebody else, we've got to have somebody. So to me, the question comes down to, do we keep Dennis in for a period of time and institute a search for an interim and sort of have that person deal with sort of the lingering issues and sort of set the slate clean? You know, how clean can you make that slate? I don't know if that's completely possible. Or do you really just move forward and as fast as we can under the rule of the sunshine, which for the elephant in the room is something we have to deal with. It makes it hard to find those good candidates. And frankly, those candidates could come forward quickly through the executive search and all that, or it could take a long time. And neither of them are bad. It just from a deliberate standpoint, it takes time. So I guess it comes back, and I've been thinking about this. You really want to have somebody in here for a year and really make these changes that are necessary and really get them done? Or will Dennis be able to do that over a period of an unknown time period? We don't know. It could be 90 days or it could be a year. Not even that. It just are.
Trustee, just to continue on your thought process there, I think that one of the things we have to be realistic about is, and I would hope that we would not just settle for anybody. And as we go through the process, if we find that, if we start out, and let me just use this as a hypothetical because it makes it easier to explain. If we start out by making Dennis the interim, we get down the road a few months and we look at the pool of candidates that we have, we may come back and say, you know what, we don't have the pool that we think is going to take us to where we want to go. I don't think that...
Excuse
me. Whoever's on the phone, could you put your phone on mute? Thank you. Where are you going?
You didn't finish either.
Timing's never perfect. The slate is never going to be perfect. There's always going to be something going on here. I think by waiting, one of the problems that you have is, we have some positions that are open. Do you fill those positions? Do you not fill those positions? If you're an organization, DSO, the Alumni Association, what direction do you have? The president of the university is a good direction on where we're going. And by leaving that position open or in interim status for a long time, I think we really hurt ourselves. I think there's got to be great people out there. And if we can't attract really superior people, that's our fault. Because we need to be able to tell this university for everything that it is. And I think we can attract great people. And I don't think by waiting a year or two, we're going to attract anybody different. So my feeling is let's move. If you step down to your company and...
That's my point.
Yeah. If you're not somebody in their room, this
is a business. And the business needs to continue. And while an interim might be able to do great things in 6 months or a year or even 2 years, that interim is going to be setting policies and doing things that the next person is going to have to live with. So if we could find...
Or change.
Right. Exactly. So if we could find that person and quickly in this process, in my view, is a year... quickly, we should, because I think it is a year. And sometimes when you're searching for that interim, whether it's Dennis or another university president between positions, sometimes that university president turns out to be great, and that is your selection. So by bringing in an interim, by searching for an interim, it may be Dennis is the right guy. But if we find somebody that's a superstar, we should bring in an interim that's a superstar. We shouldn't just do what's easiest. We should do what's best for the university, and we should do it quickly.
I concur. Immediacy is important. When you have an interim, your limit is your basic goal is to keep the lid on, keep things running smooth. You're not going out for advancement or to hit the higher mark. Your job is to keep things running smooth. So I think you really need to go immediately and advertise. But now, if you really wanted to expedite it, you hire a consulting company and they workshop the board. They say, all right, what do you want? What do you want in a president to go around? And they come up with a criteria that says this is what, quote, the board wants. then they do the screening and bring in 3, 5, or however many you tell them, and then you get the opportunity to interview those 3 or 5 or 10 or whatever number you choose. That does expedite the process rather than go in for a year or whatever. So an interim, definitely good. It's good to have a person who's knowledgeable with the university. Dennis is doing a fine job. But I wouldn't suggest that he stay there for a year or more. That's my opinion.
I concur. My thought is that the consulting company is already the stable of education work through that process, and the consulting company going through a process and finding public candidates to be interviewed by the board, and that will be I think that stability is important, and that persons that we hire for a president basically do board needs to set criteria where the philosophy of this university is going, and making sure that they follow what we look for, because we represent the citizens of the state of Florida in the incoming president of the United States. So I feel that they need to, we need to find someone who we can work with, who understand what's going on here, and how best to pass the ball from the intro to the new president. And I feel continuity is important now. We start the process, and it's going to take a while. But I feel that we need stability here, and structure, and someone who's understanding of what's been going on in this campus, in this university, and that we need to have a dual track. We have an interim who's knowledgeable and has a great job, and then we start the process of finding the president that can fill the shoes of what we need here. But if I was looking at coming on board as the president of this university, there are issues we made Fox News or the world, and I would think that we should clean up this a lot of ways before we hire somebody else who's also philosophically aligned with what we're thinking about. But a lot of these issues that we've learned here should be kept history, and so that the new president coming in should deal with forward thinking rather than things in the past, right? We need stability. So, two tracks. Intro, don't go outside, keep dense, and two, we start the process in the fall of convening a committee and start the.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I think one of the things that we've all talked about is the need for stability as well as an ability to move forward, whatever period it takes. And that the board is really focused on, and I certainly agree with Trustee Feingold, we're looking for that person who's going to fill this position permanently, and that in the interim, we need the stability, but also we need to have the charge for that individual to move forward. The acting role is different than the interim role. The interim role is a more proactive role, if you will, to get some of the things done that need to be done here at the university. I'm concerned that if we want to have a separate process to find an interim, a separate process, that focuses us short-term on yet another type of candidate, even though they might at some point be a potential candidate. But it takes our eye off the ball, which I think is, who's going to be the permanent president here at FAU? So I don't know that we want to go through a separate process to find an interim. I think, quite honestly, have someone who can provide the stability that we require and the ability to move us forward to be more attractive for a future president here at the university.
Yeah. So the consulting firms, the search firms, but they also specialize in finding those interns. Usually, on a moment's notice, they can give you 10 candidates that step in and manage the university if that's the way we chose to go. Question, counselor, is if we decide, well, between now and August 12th, it's going to be hard if we decide that we want an interim search to find that person, interview that person. So are we able to extend the acting role that President Crudell is in now as long as we want, month to month, while we do that
search if we choose to do that search?
Yes, although as of August 13th, his title would be interim. But you can put a time frame on that title. So he could be interim through the end of August and then make it a month-to-month extension if you chose to do
so that. He goes from acting to interim,
right.
But he's been appointed by us, not by former president's office.
Correct, exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Exactly. And thus you can then put whatever terms and conditions on that appointment that you choose to. You know, generally an interim is an open-ended appointment until the position is filled. That's how most interim appointments are worded, but it doesn't have to be that way.
Okay. And then to address the other point, if we were to bring somebody in an interim to fix the problems that we have here, and that person was able to fix the problem, that's probably the person we should keep. I don't think that person really exists in the short term. I don't think, again, I'm going to reiterate what I said, we're not looking for somebody short-term to fix the problems and bring in a long, we're looking for a long-term solution, in my view, now. If we find that person in a month or if we find that person in a year, we got to wait for that person, whoever that person is. The person that we're going to bring in as an interim, whether it's acting President Crudell or somebody else, should be somebody that can sustain and develop our university's best ability during that period. That's it. We shouldn't put any expectations on an interim president that are to fix what we might view as broken. If they do, great. Benefit. But that shouldn't be part of the job description.
Initially, when I started thinking through this, I actually thought what Abdul had said would make the most sense. Could we find somebody to come in? And again, take my comments constructively. I think that Dennis does a great job, and we all know that, and I'm a big fan of Dennis's. But if we could find somebody to come in here to help us through this with some stature, been through the wars already, and as Abdul said, you like him or her, you keep him. But I'd like you, David, to comment on some of the problems that evolve. And I throw this out because I don't know who was on the board when we chose MJ. How many people were here? I threw it out because as soon as MJ resigned, I started thinking about one of the second or third choices, which was a guy out of Central Florida who's probably playing tennis right now, about 2 hours away, and.
He pulled out of the running, too.
But anyway, he was very impressive. And, you know, we look at Central Florida. I'd love in X amount of years to kind of be where they are and surpass them. But you look at what they've accomplished. You know, would a guy like Kevin Hickey come in here? He's not looking to be the next president forever and ever. And he was the number two and did a lot of work at Central Florida and is a very, very successful guy. Knows the state. I think he would be excellent. But maybe, David, you can comment on how that decision kind of is negative as it relates to a full-time search, i.e. what we got into with a previous provost, where maybe individuals of really high caliber don't want to apply here because of somebody of Hickey's stature in an interim who may want to stay on who we may want to keep. Maybe you could talk through that because I think that would help the trustees understand why that may not be a good idea.
I think what you're referring to was at the board level about whether having an interim in place who did not remove himself from consideration for the full-time job, whether that would discourage other candidates because of the presumption that if the board was happy with the interim that they weren't going, the interim was going to be favored. And so there was an issue regarding some miscommunication between the chair at the time and the interim at the time as to what the expectations would be with respect to the length of service of the interim and whether he would be considered for the presidency. So I think that it would behoove the board, based on that experience, it would behoove the board, whatever you decide to do with the interim, that you make it very clear at the outset, as a board, whether or not you are going to allow that interim to be a candidate for the permanent position. And we'll put it in the appointment letter of the interim. Either the interim is or is not allowed to be a candidate. And there's a pro and a con to both sides. The con is what I just identified, is that is there, you probably are going to chill the pool somewhat if the interim is allowed to be a candidate because of the sense that others might have that person's going to have an inside track. The flip side is that if you put in there that the interim is not allowed to be a full-time candidate, then you would chill the pool for potentially the type of candidate that Trustee Mulberry was identifying. You know, you bring in a superstar of an interim. He does or she does a great job for a year or two, and the board decides that they want to have that person, but you've already made it a condition of their employment that they can't be a full-time person. So, therefore, you might not attract that person to start with. So that's a business decision you folks have to make as to how you want to proceed with the search, but I would certainly urge you, based on that experience that you're identifying, that you do make that clear at the outset as a board. Either our interim is going to be allowed, if he or she chooses, to be a candidate for the permanent, or our interim will not be allowed, and it'll be in their appointment agreement. And then that way, the selection of the interim will be made accordingly. Does that address the issue you're getting at?
And also the negative side of somebody that may come in that we would consider. You lose some potential candidates because of the sunshine. They don't want to apply because they think you've got a high-powered person here. So, again, it may be better not to seek somebody from the outside in this interim position for that reason, because we, our ultimate goal is to hire the best and the brightest.
Yeah. I mean, you will not have, you know, Trustee Rubin alluded to it earlier, and you just mentioned again, the Sunshine Law is going to prohibit you as a board from meeting with any candidates, whether for interim or for the full-time position. You are not going to be able to meet with candidates in the shade and talk to them and get a sense of them and say, you know, yeah, we've got the interim, but we would really like you. No, any meetings that any two of you have, doesn't even be the full board, any two of you has to be in the sunshine. And that is absolutely a major impact on the way that we have to conduct searches here. And I'm not just griping and editorializing. There have been a number of articles written throughout the national press repeatedly about the impact of sunshine laws on public university searches, and they always point to Florida as the poster child for the impact. And in fact, the leading Florida Supreme Court decision relating to committees having to operate in the sunshine arose from a challenge for a dean search at the University of Florida. And it went all the way to the Florida Supreme Court, and it created the precedent that we are all operating under with respect to search committees. So you're not going to have the ability for two or three trustees to go and you know, quietly talk to people together and to say, here's what we're doing here, but we want you to think about doing this and that. Anything. We just don't have that ability right now. It is a handicap. It's something we overcome. What boards typically do, what we did last time here, and what every board that I know of in the 15 years I've been practicing higher ed law in the state of Florida has done, is they empower their chairman to engage in one-on-one conversations. Everybody hires a consulting firm. The consulting firm does the preliminary legwork of attracting a stable of potential applicants. They are not applicants. They're not even, their resumes are not submitted to you. It's the search firm that maintains their own pool of talent, and the search firm introduces the chair to that talent pool. The chair can have one-on-one conversations. Any other trustee can have a one-on-one conversation, but typically it's the chair who invests a ton of time in these things. And then you have a natural winnowing of a process, and then it's presented to a search committee. Don't forget, we have to have a search committee under law. So finally, applicants are presented to the search committee. The search committee then meets in the sunshine, reviews the, you know, whatever number of applicants that are there, and then would bring on to campus two or three or four finalists for the full board to meet. That's how the process has really evolved at virtually every university in the state because of the dictates of the Sunshine Law.
Yes. I think we all need to realize that, you know, if we start a search now, that this process to get what we want as the best qualified person that we can get is going to take a year or so, maybe more, if we can't get people that we think will be here for a long time as far as president is concerned. And my concern is get the best person possible out there permanently for FAU. I don't want to spend time on an interim search when we should be devoted to getting the best possible candidate, and we don't want to taint that search or pool with any possible candidate that says, oh, I don't have an opportunity, so forth. As I was on the board in our last presidential search, I'll say the same thing I said then, and that is it's important to move on and permanent so that we have stability here at the university and get the best person out there as a president in the university to lead us. So I'm in favor of moving forward with the search, and let's get on with the process.
This is it's hard to have this discussion at the front time. Sometimes hard to do what you really think here. We all deal with that every time we sit before the microphone. David, I was thinking of what you said regarding the con of the interim, and you know, obviously the person would have, I would assume, the fact that be of a temporary nature, and it would just last a year or two, whatever that might be. And I definitely agree with what you said, Tom. It's going to take a while. I guess it's something that it just is sort of sticking with me is that you're trying to find the right person right now. That's going on for a while. And again, I already said I'll repeat it. Come a long way, you know. We're just in boxes. I mean, it's still kind of here. And I think we have to be honest about it. And to try to attract, to get the right candidates who have interest in us right now, maybe we do need a little bit of time to go by. I don't have a crystal ball. I'm just throwing this up. And maybe the right interim will give us that time. You know, I mean, immediacy. Bill, I heard you said, and Bush said, you guys are right. I mean, but sometimes, you know, maybe we have to clean up our act a little bit and just sort of get things stabilized a little bit more. And again, I'm just throwing this out. I'm trying to have a discussion now like I would have with you on the phone that we're not allowed to have. You know, that's what I'm trying to do. And so I'm not pontificating about, oh, this is what we need to do. I'm trying to bring up the issues that we might not be thinking about and say, hey, you know, maybe we have to straighten stuff out. And maybe, you know, maybe Dennis is the guy to do that. I mean, that's sort of what we're not talking about. Maybe Dennis is the guy to come in and straighten a few things out, make some changes. There's going to be changes that are going to be made in the future, and that's fine. And maybe the period of time is needed. Maybe it's not an immediacy. Maybe wait just a few months before we take our time in getting this thing going. And maybe we need a year. I don't know. I just want to throw that out, that it's something that we, because I'm all about, you know, I'm kind of AC and I'm all about moving fast a lot, but maybe this is something we should consider, that we might not be realistic with ourselves, that we might not be the most attractive place. God, it's so tough to say this publicly like this, but it's just, there's some stuff that's happened. And again, we're not in crisis mode anymore. We're way past that. There's a lot of fixes going on. There's great things going on here. But the person's going to Google us. I mean, not for nothing. You Google FAU. I don't need to tell you, all probably done. So we need to get good stories on there, too, to push the bad stuff down. I'm not advocating a position here. I'm throwing some stuff out that we just need to consider.
Sure.
But what I remember from being on the search team last time was that the summer is kind of when you will get somebody to commit. So the July time frame of 2014 would be when...
Still a year away.
That's kind of, in academia how it works. Now,
I agree with what you said. If you kind of go back to the corporate world and you want somebody to kind of come in, see a bunch of problems, and want to come in and fix them. I don't know that that's what happens with presidents of universities or whether they want to come in and have everything be set for them. But, it probably isn't going to go in there a year to get somebody in there.
So you're saying, I guess I'm assuming you're saying that we get it done for this summer? Or it's going to
If you start it out, it's still not going to. Most probably, it's still not going to be finalized until after next summer. I think we have to get started. I truly believe it's a long process, and I don't want to belittle some of the issues that we've been dealing with, but I'm an optimist. I think they're fixable. I really do. I think the right person can come in here, and with great leadership, I guarantee you, whoever we're going to talk to, depending what university they're at, they've had their problems, too, and that's what great leaders do. So I agree the last 4 or 5 months have been a mess. But is it fixable? Yes. And the right person, do I believe that the right person would come in here and do it? Without a doubt. Without a doubt. So I think we can have our cake and eat it, decide the interim, who that is. It's going to take, as Bob said, nothing's going to finalize until next September, probably. So still, there is a time for healing, which I think we do need. But I just get on with it. And again, there's not much going to take place this summer either, guys. I mean, everyone's gone. So we hire the firm. They're not going to get going until October. And then it's just that people, I'm interested. And nothing's going to firm up. Probably until after the summer next year, or right sometime this year from today, if we find the right person. And we may not.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
In terms of hiring the firm, how does that, is that a committee function, a board function? So do we have to wait, if we wanted to hire a firm tomorrow, do we have to have another board meeting to hire that firm? Or can we empower you as the chair to hire a firm? Or does the search committee need to be firm to hire the firm?
No. The search committee that we form, their only function is to bring to us candidates that we will from which we will select. So if we say, the last time I think we said the search committee was to bring three candidates to the board, they brought three candidates to the board, then the search committee's job is done. But the board, I believe the last time we empowered the chair to do the research, pick the search, and recommend a search firm for the board. The board can certainly empower me to do it, or, you know, let me go out and then bring however many candidates we come up with, you know, firms we come up with, show them to you, make a recommendation on which one we should go with, and then we can do it. I'm trying to remember. My recollection was we did that, like, telephonically.
Yeah, I mean, the good news is there aren't that many that are really good.
Right.
So we know who they are. It's probably three or four, maybe.
Yeah.
And so it's not like you got to go through a search for a search here, I think.
Right.
You know who they've placed before. You know what universities hired them. And again, there's only three or four, and I'm sure Anthony and his, you know, counsel could come up with the right choices. So,
well, and that leads to my point on those three or four top firms have a drawer full of interims and candidates that they can recommend.
Well, yeah.
I think you're losing track.
Pepperoni's
not
a
good drawer, but
who?
Pepperoni.
By the chairman to for a
full-time president. So call that for a vote.
So there's a motion to appoint Dennis Trudell as the interim and to empower the chair to appoint a search committee. Okay, is there a second?
I second.
So you can discuss that.
Everything
done. I just want to know, how do I vote on something where I don't know the term? For how long?
Will
he be pulled in on this sort of thing? Yeah, Dennis is not. He's in the drop program for the state. And he and I have.
Retired.
Which means that he's in the. I forget what it stands for, but he's in the retirement program.
Retirement options program.
Okay, he's in that program. And I think right now he's thinking it. I think it's December of 14 is when he drops, but. You know, hopefully we'll.
Let's say retire, let's drop.
Well, he's not retiring. He's retiring.
Ah, he drops. End up doing something else.
Yeah, right.
The program, and if he doesn't, he forfeits an awful lot of money.
Yeah, yeah. So he is not a candidate. With regard to the search committee. What we did the last time, and we can do that again this time, or we cannot. We empowered the chair to appoint a search committee comprised of the following members. It was three trustees, one faculty, one non-faculty employee, student, alumni representative, FAU Foundation representative, community representative, and then at least one member at the chair's discretion. We're going to add to that this year because one of the things that Chair Colson shared with me was that he would like to appoint a member of the Board of Governors to serve on our committee. So we know that we will have at least one governor serving on our committee.
Do you want me to pass that
to
Anthony?
Yeah.
Anthony, yes, sir. I'm troubled by the committee process. I think that
okay.
The majority of that committee should be the board members, and we are the ultimate responsibility that we have say so the final time, but I feel that we have to have the majority of the day come through the entire process. So regardless of how many members we have, this board should be empowered to have the majority on that committee, and the chairman of the search committee should be a member of the board, and all subcommittees should be chaired by a member of the board of trustees.
I appreciate that, trustee, and the, you know, I would propose to be the chair of that committee. I think that we have a lot of stakeholders in the university. The purpose of the search committee is not to make a selection. Everything is public. Not just any trustee, but any body who wishes. Each meeting is noticed. Anybody that wishes can come to a meeting. Anybody that wishes can look. They have the same access to the information that the search committee does. And I think that if we get a committee that's too large, it then becomes very difficult to get the process moving.
It's actually true, and we don't have to include everybody in the university to do that because we are charged by the governor and the legislature to come up with candidates. And sometimes during that process, elimination.
Some people will great candidates, might not get the final three. There's only the final four, student 16, or Big A with the fullest. So to me, I feel that those individuals may be restructured. And that's certainly the prerogative of the board. I think that, a university with a large group of stakeholders, and one of the things that we need to make sure of is that we have participation on behalf of the stakeholders so that when our new president comes, they have there is buy-in at the beginning from groups. The only people that will participate in interviewing the people that are proposed are, you know, is this board. And talk about, Trustee Rubin, talk about awkward. That's awkward. Because you show up to this meeting and there are three or four people there and, you know, you have no idea what anybody else is thinking. So it makes it a very interesting process. And I wasn't on the last search committee. David, you were. I don't know if you want to comment, or I think, Bob, were you on? You were on. I don't know if you want to comment on any of that part of the process.
I tend to agree with you, Tony. You do have to make sure that the stakeholders are involved, and that doesn't mean that the trustees don't get involved. I mean, they could attend the meetings, they could be part of the interview process. I mean, it was a very extensive, obviously, search that we went through, and I think it went fairly well. I mean, I think it did, and at the end, it was pretty strong consensus. I don't know what your thoughts are, Bob, but what's
on the?
I mean, the fact that we had a lot of, we had stakeholders. We had, other than, you know, three quarters of the people on the committee were, rather than being board members, that we did have.
I think it was a good mix of people. I don't think there's anything wrong with adding an additional one or two.
Yeah.
I think one of the things I've been frustrated with on the board is that, you know, we are the governing board for the university, so we need to be involved in this decision. But it is good to have a good cross-section of people across the community that we serve also. And I think that would have gone on.
Could you add some more people? I mean,
yes, trustees, what we passed out.
It's a lot of work, by the way. So if you do say you want to be on this committee, I mean, you got to be prepared. It is hundreds of hours. It's a lot of hours. I mean, these guys, you know, men and women, we go through the resumes. We pick the ones we like. Then they decide to come in. You've got to be available to meet and discuss. And this was a long process, and it took a lot of time.
Yes,
so if there are board members that are interested, be prepared. You're going to put in more time on this search, all the time you put in other than Tony, on this board. It takes a lot of work.
Right, because as the chair was saying, it's a two-pronged process where the search committee does a lot of the winnowing and the grunt work. You know, as I recall last time, I think we had north of 50 applicants. Mary, do you recall the exact number? It was 54, 55, something like that. And with each of you, get to remember, in academia, nobody has a one-page resume. They have a curriculum vitae. And those CVs, particularly for a qualified presidential candidate, can run dozens of pages long because they list their publications, they list their committee work, they list everything, their research. And so the search committee is charged with winnowing through that literal mountain of applicant material to bring it down to a level of a half a dozen to a dozen, which are the first cut that they will then do. Typically, they'll do either phone interviews or a first round of campus interviews. And then after that, they get together and they will further winnow down that pool down to the three or four that would come to the board. So as Trustee Fader says, that process of recruiting, of reviewing 50-plus applications, narrowing it down to a dozen, further narrowing it down to finalists, is a 100-hour commitment easily in the hundreds of hours.
If the deadline for applications is February 28th, because of the sunshine, February 27th, you know, a boatload will come in. So that's when probably 70% of the applications come in.
Exactly.
And I think in looking back at who the members of the committee were, even though it's not identified as that, there were actually six trustees on that committee because the student selected was the president of the student body. The faculty member or one of those faculty positions was held by the, I think, by the person that was the president of the faculty senate at the time. So, yeah, so, you get there. We were there. We just didn't, they weren't identified as that. But when I look back at who the members were, that's what it showed up as. So a majority, even though it's not identified like that here, a majority of the committee were trustees who were voting on selecting the president.
I understand, but the question I have is, if the president left meetings and
to any search consultant, one of the things they'll tell you is you've got to make sure that you have a committee that is, because I've said, it's pretty intense. It's a short burst, but it's pretty intense during that short burst. And if we have 20 people on a committee or 17 people on a committee, it just gets to be very complex. And they're not making any decisions. The only decisions they're making are recommendations. They're not, correct me if I'm wrong. If we looked at a resume in those that are submitted, and they're all, again, anybody can look at any CV of anybody that was, that applied. If we saw a candidate that we said, wait a second, I want to see this person. We could add that person. Is that right?
The CVs would be public.
No. Right.
Everybody. And so, yes, you could absolutely, just as anybody else could, any trustee would have the ability to inform the committee that they think that Jane Doe is a very good candidate, and that would be something that would be worth bringing forward. You could also, by the way, even if the committee brings to you four recommendations that don't include Jane Doe, you will also have all 50 CVs in front of you as well. And absolutely the board could say, fine, thank you, committee, for your four recommendations. We also want to interview Jane Doe, even though for whatever reason the committee didn't do that.
Okay.
So, yes, you have, and the final decision is the board and the board alone. There is nobody else that votes.
I understand that, but if there are three, then there's one of the people out there. That individual, there are any houses. Four of the nominating committees, okay, and I know how that works. Why am I going to throw myself out knowing that the committee is not nominating committee getting the overall board did not select me as one of the final three or four, even though I might have some board members who think I'm the best out there. So now I'm going against sort of a stacked deck, okay, because now people on this board, some of them are actually voting members here, are going against their own intuition and selection. So to me, I believe in our strong responsibility as a real governing board here, responsible for 30,000 students, et cetera, that we have the governing process. Irrespective of the whole community, we should be involved. But we're the ultimate people. And
I guess I got to tell you, Jeffrey, I'm just having a problem trying to understand what you're proposing.
I just want to have add more permanent members to the board as part of that process. That's all I care about.
How many?
Is this going to be five? Or there's only how many are really around this table right now? Okay, so instead of three and the chairman, it's four, so you're adding. Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 people. One's the chairman, so and three. So if the other four or five want to be part of that committee, I would say.
So you want us to make the whole board the committee, and then add other people. So we'd have
anybody who is a board member
But Jeffrey, anybody that's a board member or anybody that's in the public can participate. I mean, they can come to any meeting. If you're a board member and you came to a meeting and you wanted to ask the question, I can't imagine that somebody would say we can't ask a question.
No, I don't mean that. I'm just saying to you.
I'm trying to understand that.
I look at the 2A search committee. They're looking for presidents also, and even though it's a private institution, it's one of the most famous ones in this country. The number of people on the board search committee, in the larger board, will basically members of the board of trustees and some
right.
Online people.
Right.
And following up with people who are involved in that process, I felt that they wanted to have someone who was like themselves in terms of what was the predecessor, Scott Cowan, and they're looking for someone like that or better the next time around. And they've had a history with him for 15 years.
Right.
Jeffrey, just to clarify the answer, are you asking five more or a total of five trustees on the board?
No, I just felt that we should the majority of that search committee.
You want a majority to be trustees? Yeah, we don't have to. There's not that many of them.
Well, they are. So it's
in 6 and 1 on that committee?
Six.
Five is five.
Can we vote on the, so we can entertain another motion? Because we're stuck on one motion right now, right?
We are.
So can we decide if we're going to vote on that motion?
Okay.
We can make another motion regarding the committee because we've got everybody's position.
Okay.
We should vote on something.
The best thing then to divide the motion.
What
I can suggest if we do that, we need to, I think, amend the first part of that. I know he's agreed to it, but that Dennis will not actively seek position of president. And I think there should be somewhat of a time frame on there, definitive time frame. And from Jeffrey's standpoint, you know, maybe we say up to five trustees with a minimum of three. Because, you know, maybe only three want to serve. But if we have five, we have six, seven. Trustees.
But we have more than three trustees.
Right.
But so let's make sure we just say it right. We have other. We have members of the board.
So, Trustee Stilley, is that a motion to amend the standing motion? And the amendment would be that the composition of the search committee would have between three and five trustees.
We have five.
A minimum of three with a maximum of five.
Okay, so a minimum of three to five appointed trustees as amendment is the first part of the amendment. And the second part of the amendment is that the interim appointment would specify that the interim may not be a candidate for the full-time presidency. And then you said something about a time frame?
I said that.
Okay. Because the time frame of an interim, by definition, would be until the position is filled with the permanent. So if you're launching the search at the same time that you are appointing the interim, that would they would reference each other in that resolution.
But isn't he somewhat restricted from his drop program? What if we don't find somebody December of 2014 and he retired?
Well, I think that's the reality is, if we start the search and we find that we're not getting the candidate pool that we think we're going to get, then we would be remiss to just make a selection, you know, and not come back and say, okay, we need to do this. We need to do something in the short term, and then have a longer term solution a few years, you know, sometime later down the road. So,
and the most efficient way to deal with that, if you wanted to. I mean, you can certainly, you know, as Trustee Mulberry was talking about, you can do month to month, you can do anything you want to with the term. But the easiest thing might be for, if you want to appoint an interim effective on August 13th, you would say that the interim appointment would remain in effect for the duration of time necessary to conduct the search unless modified by further action of the board.
And then,
that's fine.
I want to add something friendly to that motion. Because of Dennis's importance financial standpoint, that's one thing that we're doing fantastic on, is I would be reticent to have his term as a
interim president last until December 2014. So I would want a full-time CFO in place with a transition period. So I would be more comfortable to say no more than 1 year. So I guess at least it would be a 3 to 6 month kind of time period that we would have him available from a financial standpoint. He's important still for that.
I think it covers.
Right,
I agree with you wholeheartedly. And I think the way that we've worded the motion, which is at our, how do you say that? Unless modified.
Modified.
Yeah.
I'd be concerned if we went to December the 14th. That would be problematic.
Correct.
That's what occurs.
Correct.
So,
I mean, I think before we get.
Yeah, give us the possibility, we'll be okay on that.
But that's what the modified by further action of the board gives you the flexibility. So that's your motion, Trustee Stille?
That's fine, yes.
Okay, that's a motion to amend Trustee Feingold's standing motion to have the search committee comprised of between 3 and 5 appointed trustees and the interim serving unless modified by further action and the interim prohibited from serving as the president. That's a motion to amend that's not yet been seconded.
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion on the motion to amend?
No. Okay. Before we vote, the thing I want you as the chair I think we've got to take a good, long, hard look at our donors and make sure that if they want to be included as your appointee,
yes,
that we should give that serious consideration. Because they've put their money where their mouth is.
I agree wholeheartedly.
Sorry.
Any further discussion?
On the motion.
Can we have a vote on the motion to amend? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, the motion is amended. Okay, now, do we have any further questions or discussion on the motion as amended? Okay, can I have a motion, or can I all approve the motion, the amended motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion carries.
Okay.
Now, and I will come back to you at our next meeting with...
Do we need a motion to make you the chair of the committee, or is that a foregone conclusion?
So
if we need a motion, making that motion, motion to appoint Chair Barber as the chairman of the search committee.
Discussion. Any discussion?
You forget. You repeat yourself on this.
Right. I'm repeating myself.
You have to repeat yourself from your job.
Yeah.
5 3/4.
Okay. All
in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
I abstained.
Do we need a motion?
Motion carries. Now,
chair, the ability to find a search firm, or how are we going to?
Yes.
So.
And
well, he's going to bring back
right.
the board.
Right.
Search firm that he'll recommend.
Yeah.
So do we have to give him the authority to do that, or not yet because he's not selecting anybody?
It would be better to go ahead and do that.
Okay. So motion made to allow the chair of the search committee to identify a minimum of 3 firms to present to the board. Or
can we amend that to the chair of the board? Because I've got to do this.
Oh, sure. Not chair of the board to identify 3 search firms to present to the board for approval for hiring that firm to locate a future president.
Sir. Any discussion? Okay, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And depending on what happens, I may call a telephone conference to talk about that. So just to give you a heads up on that. Okay. Okay. Can we have a motion to specifically name Dennis Crudell as the interim? I think in our motion, that was something.
Second.
We're all going to move it, so there's no one to second.
Any discussion?
No.
Okay, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion carries.
You should have many telephone conversations.
Yes.
Better during the summer telephone.
Right, right.
Yeah. Don't be running to that.
No.
Yeah,
no.
It's an hour. Quick. Yeah, it's fine.
So, we don't have any other motions.
I'm sorry. I should suggest the bonus one authorizing the chair to negotiate and execute with the appropriate appointment.
Okay, so motion to allow the chair to negotiate an interim president's agreement or
and execute
and execute on that.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Get the big house.
Does
it get the big house?
Can one trustee make three motions? No, I'm not kidding.
Thanks to a player.
You guys can quote it.
Well, if the house is empty, it's negotiating. Less money.
Yeah, right.
Hey, anybody gets a 4.0 in engineering, just take it.
Better get the heck out of the president's chair.
To get you the house.
Well, Dennis, the board has voted unanimously to appoint you the interim. So congratulations and thank you for assuming this role. We sincerely appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much, and I thank the board for their trust in me, and I really do appreciate all of the things that have happened over the last 2 months since I've assumed this role, and I think that I'm up for the challenge, and we've got some great things that are going to be happening here, and I look forward to spending the rest of my time here in a very positive fashion. So thank you all very much for the confidence you've shown, and thank you as a board. I just want to say thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Do we have any old business?
Yes. I just want to thank John for his exceptional help in working with my wife and myself and the prosecutorial team to stay in the boardroom first class. The date will be in November. He's working on that date. And I want to thank the board for their help. And
comments?
I actually just want to, is Pat Chun here? Is he still here? Okay. Well, I just want to say thank you to him. He spent a lot of time, and I know Tom Donati and others did too this week with our engaging to obtain a bowl game at FAU. It was impressive how everybody pulled together. It was a large group that was here. Chairs from two of the athletic commissioners actually were here. ESPN was here. He and his team pulled it all together, and a lot of you did. So I just want to say thank you. I think it went really well.
Thanks. David, any comments?
No, I just think that, you know, there's a lot of positive things going on, and it's going to get better. We will hire a great person for this position of president. Even there's some discussion right now, and I know it's a little premature. I've talked a little bit with Tom Donati about there is interest out there of putting a hotel on the grounds at some point. And it's pretty exciting because it's pretty sincere. And, you know, obviously the board will be very involved in that. But I've been trying to help him a little bit as he gathers information. But I've had people call me. Is there any issues regarding the sunshine if outside entities have interest in talking to me? I mean, I'm not giving them answers, but obviously just they want to get some ideas as to...
No. I mean, as long as it's not... more, as I understand it, more than one trustee involved in the conversation.
And as long as the board is not delegating responsibility to you or to the committee, and
have
not yet, so
that's fine. Yeah, I think they just basically want to get my expertise for nothing. So it's
fine. Yeah, right.
benefits the university. But anyway, that could be really exciting.
We all hope.
Yeah. It's got to make money for us, and it's got to benefit the students. I mean, at the end of the day, we don't need a hotel, but if it benefits the students and there's facilities and that our students can train at, and also we make some money, and I think it's a nice plug for a university. And you go down to Notre Dame, you know, that hotel on premises really helps Notre Dame. And so having something here at our entrance, I think, could be pretty cool under the right circumstances.
Jeffrey, any comment?
Dennis, I want to look forward to working with you as your president. I knew you did a great job in changing the way this community looks at FAU. I'm very troubled that we're on a bus in Florida concerning the hiring temporary to be appointed back on TV. And quotes from the show were basically a repeat of their previous show that from the comments, nothing really changed. Wrestling what about the empowering sensitivity by the faculty who were the best. No balance, lose, extreme recovery, and hiring vice chairman of the Democratic Party of Palm Beach County as a political operative teaching students, not even the political science, and no counterbalance, I felt it was an affront to the board and the reputation of the university. The other issues were the new regime hopefully will not sweep everyone in the room. And whitewash issues, intolerance, of anti-Semitism, of anti-Christian behavior has to end here. Awarding prizes to students has to be reviewed. Faculty's rejection of GEO without any counterbalance in terms of saying, well, we're going to raise that $6 million, we're not raising this money to review the blacking. The faculty member that considers massacres in Massachusetts and in Connecticut was appalling to me and many others in this community. I was phone calls about that. If the faculty did not censor him and said that it was more candid, therefore he's entitled to that. Really, this faculty needs to be re-educated in terms of what their stances are as a student community, as we are a union and a state institution. And to me, our reputation always is in jeopardy when people say things that are totally real and they have to be responsible to the students and administration. And hopefully, to the new president, interim, a new case and term in this university, to getting it on track and having positive news rather than being on Fox News and all that kind of stuff. Thank you. I want to hope for everybody a great summer. Work with you and everybody else who needs to be necessary to make it a better place. I'm here to see the students have a great education and faculty really get the discussion that you deans that we hire and the other administrators we hire in the future have a forward look to where this university needs to be, and give them a platform that they can do more. Thank you.
Thank you. Trustee Teske, anything?
Yes. I just want to once again reiterate the hope to work and the accomplishments that our team and our committee had supplied in securing the contract, even though it's 1 year into it already, and looking forward to future meetings and soliciting input from board members as well as staff on any future contracts. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I know that the university has been through some significant challenges over the last 6 months, but I tend to want to look forward to the many opportunities that I think we can continue to make this university great. And I want to, from my standpoint, my two hats that I wear here, not only from my point as a trustee, but also as a representative of the faculty, I want to assure that President Grinnell, as we move forward, we welcome the opportunity, I think, to work together collaboratively to kind of seek the solutions that we need on all of the issues that we face here, including things that we talked about today, for example, from the Board of Governors meeting about retention here at the university. This is a problem for all of us to deal with, and I think we can and will stand ready to work with the president here to solve those issues. To my fellow trustees with my other hat on, I think that we now recognize that we have one of the most significant opportunities as well as challenges for us, and that is the selection of a new president here to lead the university. And I look forward to an opportunity for an open, competitive, and highly participatory process so that we have the opportunity to really select the very, very best person to lead us forward, because we have great days ahead of us. I firmly believe that. As an alumnus of this university, I know and I want to see the university succeed in ways that we only dream about today, and we can do that. Therefore, thank you,
for
Mr.
Chairman.
Thank you, sir. Yeah. I definitely want to go ahead and commend the board on the decisions that we made today. I refrained from saying very much during the discussion process with knowledge that I am the least experienced member of the board, so I figured I'd let the other guys handle this one. But I do want to say that it is very, it's something that concerns the students just as well. Sometimes it's easy to imagine that that this board has, you know, that we care more than the students, some who our president is, because we'll be working with the president one directly. But really, the students are concerned, and we want somebody to lead us. We want somebody that so that we know which direction we're going, a clear set. We mentioned stability a lot. I also want to mention accountability, too, because if we're ever not pleased with something, we need to have that person who we can hold accountable or commendable, you know, like if we want to, you know, put them on the pedestal for doing a great job. So it is definitely important in my mind to go ahead and get started with this process. I definitely want to commend the board on making that decision today.
I think I may have scared Peter when he came. I told him that the newest member of the board gets to read the labor contract
and provide the summary report for the rest.
Yeah. No, I just told him he gets to read it out loud. So I think he wanted to pretend like he wasn't here. I was just kidding.
I think this was probably one of our better open meetings. I think we were very collaborative today. I think we got stuff out the open. I think that we hope some of it doesn't come back to bite us from getting off the press. But there's a balance between what you sometimes want to say and what sometimes you need to say. And I think a little bit of both of those things were good. I think we made some good decisions. I feel a little bit about that. However, at the time our acting president took some of my thunder away, I got home last night from a trip, and I picked up Florida Trend, and I was reading about these great attorneys in here. Great attorneys. And so do I see in there at Dave Fion. So if any of you want to see it. I was impressed. Legal elite.
Elitist.
Did he buy an ad? Did he buy an ad?
You don't get a raise. I want to make sure you don't get a house either. So we did a good job today. We have a big job ahead of us. I'm interested in hearing the people on the board before as to the community involvement. I should not the board, but the committee, as far as what the community involvement was. I mean, you know, if you're right about stakeholders, it's important. But at the end of the day, it is all about us making the final decision. Mm-hmm. And you know, adding a couple more trustees, that's fine. Mm-hmm. It's really not a big deal one way or the other. But I think that really getting the right people on this, which is that's a job you have ahead of you to really make sure the right people are on this. It's like David said, it's going to be a lot of time, and you got to make sure they're committed. They're going to do that. So it's very exciting. We do have a lot of opportunities. We have some issues we have to get dealt with, but this one particular job ahead of us is a big one.
Yeah.
So
looking forward to it.
I do have something important to say. This is important also. Mary Lynn just texted me. A friend of ours has a son who applied to FAU late, and is a great kid. Incredible background, kind of lived in a tent in the campground for almost a year. He was adopted by this friend of ours and just got accepted to FAU.
Wow.
He's so excited. What I want to do, and I think that happened here at FAU in a classroom not too long ago. My concern is that, you know, the faculty that we hire, I would hope would be intelligent and perceptive enough to understand that whether it's a book or not, something that could offend millions of people should not be done, and they should be held accountable for that. That I don't think that did happen in this case. I am also kind of surprised that I know if I offended a lot of people, as I was offended, I would certainly apologize to those people for that, and I've not seen that happen in this case. I hope that does come true. That's my piece. I just have to say it. Dennis, I've enjoyed working with you over the years, and I'm really excited for you, and I'm excited for FAU. It's going to be a great one. So,
thank you, sir.
Well, Dennis, congratulations. I look forward to working with you as well. I concur with the other comments, and I'll make it very short because the rain is coming very shortly. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Dennis, congratulations. I look forward to working with you. I appreciate the job that you have done when you assumed this role. So thank you for all you're doing, and thank you for, Dorothy, thank you for stepping in. And assuming the role in finance, I know you'll do a great job, and we appreciate that. One of the great things about this university is how many phenomenal people work here. And that's what makes this a special place, and I think that's what will be attractive to our next president. So once again, I hope you have a wonderful summer. We will probably have at least one call-in meeting over the summer, and I would look forward to seeing you after. Okay.
Move to close.
Awesome. Oh, you mean make motion? I'm making motion today.
Okay.
You
can second.
I want to make a final motion that Dennis and David share the house, but get approved.
I am not going there.
You may want to remember how to pull it in.
Motion to
all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Meeting adjourned.